welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone had a safe weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show on Friday night. Dad was on there with Doug and had a really good show. Had a lot of new intel, everything that's going on right now. And, so here we are today. Thank you again for all the emails and all the support. A lot of people, you know, are starting to get prepared for what they're starting to see happen, and I've been telling everybody that for weeks. So again, thank you for your patience. It's taken us a couple days to get a lot of the orders out right now. We're a couple days behind on stuff, but everything is going out. The food bucket's pretty much sold out on Friday already. We may be getting another small batch in today and then another batch in this Friday of the organic food buckets. They're kind of coming in waves. The manufacturer of these buckets is getting deluged for obvious reasons right now with orders, and they literally cannot keep up with demand. So we're doing our absolute best to try to get them in as fast as we can, get them to our customers as fast as we can, but we're also having supply issues as far as not getting as many as we need that we already have on order when we need them. So thank you for your patience with that, and again, thank you for everything you guys continue to do for Health Masters. And Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, absolutely blessed, Austin. Thank you so much for the feedback on the Hagman Show on Friday. It was an interesting show with Doug. I love Doug. He's a good friend. And he started talking about, you know, spiritual attacks on me and Austin and him. And I quickly intervened and said, these people who do this have no authority over us. None. Zero. And I don't receive any of that stuff. That's like the guy bringing you the basket of water moccasins and pit vipers to your front door, and they say to you, please sign for this. And your response should be, no, go away, take your basket of snakes somewhere else. See, the only reason we allow these things to come into our lives is because of either ignorance or because of, how should I say this, making wrong decisions and letting wrong people come into our lives. Guys, let me explain something to you. You know, you remember the old story of the Trojan horse and how people sneak into the camp? Be very, very careful on who you allow into your camp. Be very careful on who your friends are. If your friends aren't building you up and encouraging you, and if they're not excited for you, if you're doing well, then you probably need to pull the plug on those friends. If your friends are trying to get you to go out and smoke dope every night, and you think, well, I can't believe you said no, blah, 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 marijuana is supposed to be good. Okay, wait, stop. Don't start that with me, all right? I'm talking about if you're kids now. If you're kids and you're 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, you're hanging out with kids and they want to smoke drugs. Or if a person's 20 or 30 or 40 years old and they want to do recreational drugs all the time and you know them, you think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there's something wrong with that, guys. It's not okay. You know, number one, you don't know what the long-term neurological development is going to do. You don't know. Now, I know THC has good components to it that help to prevent, you know, all kinds of things as far as, like, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome, to be able to disconnect your gut from your brain as far as to heal your intestines. It does all kinds of stuff. I got that. And I personally believe that medical marijuana or THC should be available for those folks who are 21 or over for medical reasons only. Okay, so don't start on me on that. But what I'm saying is, if you feel it's necessary to go out and get drunk on a regular basis or hang out with friends who do that or who want to use THC or smoke pot just to have fun with it or take LSD or all these other types of drugs, you know, you got to ask yourself a simple question. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to alter your state? Why do you want to self-medicate? Ask yourself that. Because, guys, this is not that time right now. I mean, we got too much stuff going on right now. We need to be about our Father's business, doing what He wants us to do. Now, think about it for a second. You know, we've got a government now that is insisting that America is very, very, very ready for coronavirus, while almost no testing is taking place. They're telling us not to prepare, not to get masks, not to do anything, and wait for the virus. Wait for the vaccine. All right. Let me explain something to you. This same government now that is telling us that, you know, there's nothing to see here, move on, and has allowed this stuff to come into our country with flights still coming in from other countries right now from affected areas into the United States right now, almost like they're seeding it, even though many of the airlines now have stopped even taking flights into certain areas of Italy and China. It doesn't mean there can't be connecting flights from those areas. that are still being searched to bring it directly into the United States with people that we know have a 28-day incubation period on this virus who will show no symptoms and no fever whatsoever. They get put into the general population and pop, they have coronavirus and they've been exposed to thousands of people. But nothing to see here. We now have cases of coronavirus here in Florida. And once that really cranks up, it's going to decimate the population of the people coming in for tourism and visiting, quote-unquote, the theme parks in this area. So now we're supposed to say to the government, oh, by the way, we'll take this vaccine that you've developed because we think you're so smart. Wait a minute. Stop for a second. This is the same government that allowed this to happen. And now they're going to come to the door under medical martial law, thanks to Obama and Bush and the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and all that crappy stuff that Obama signed and Trump has signed and Bill Clinton signed and Bush signed and all the other stuff that we didn't want, that nobody asked us about. They decided to vote it into law, including coming by and taking all of your food, by the way, taking all of your water stores, by the way, coming in and forcibly disarming you. That was already tested with that hurricane that hit Las Vegas, New Orleans a few years ago. I mean, all of these things, and now we're supposed to say, we trust you, government. We trust you because we want you to take care of us. And now, so you got to ask yourself a question. Is that really something that's going to be done in your best interest? And, Zero Hedge came out with an article, and it says, does the coronavirus make the case for a world government? Now, I don't know if this was tongue-in-cheek. I don't know if they really meant this. I don't know what the world they're even writing this for. But maybe they're trying to make a point. It says, sometimes things happen without any human malfeasance. Now they're talking about the coronavirus. Well, the problem is, I don't think that just happened. I think that was a bioengineered weapon that got loose, either intentionally or unintentionally. And, of course, he goes on to say, we may never know the course, but easy to readily apparent answers to the question of how this could have avoided should be viewed with a skepticism appropriate to any state propaganda. Then it says the Wuhan coronavirus seems tailored-made for this. There, now they're getting to be real with this. It says cross-border threats of illnesses, and particularly well-suited to the pre-existing bureaucratic desire for power over populations. And these are the sorts of things that authorities and politicians want all the time. So they're asking now, should we have a one-world government to be able to mandate and to dictate what needs to be done with this? I mean, think through this for a second, what we're asking. So will a one-world government correct this? In other words, Donald Trump was asleep with all this. Just all be real with it, okay? This isn't a pick on Trump day. He was asleep. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. Why was he asleep? Was he asleep because they weren't giving him the intel? That's a very possibility, guys. Remember, Trump's not a scientist. You know, he's a business guy who likes to work with the mafia. Yeah, okay, I can prove that. You don't get into the casino business in Atlantic City unless you're that. And he's a casino guy who works with the mafia, who basically has built a lot of buildings and who has supposedly done a lot of projects, including filed bankruptcy multiple times and was bailed out by the Rothschild Inc. Bank, an investment firm, and also by Wilbur Ross in the gang. So, I mean, so we've got all of this stuff going on with Trump. So could he just be a figurehead, a scapegoat, a person who's playing a part, playing a role, and now he wasn't given information about the coronavirus, which made him say some really stupid things, including gag ordering the entire federal government as far as the scientific community who work for the federal government and not be able to release a statement on coronavirus unless Pence says okay. That's about as stupid as it gets, okay? Now, I understand why he's doing it, because he wants to be reelected. This is an election year, and you understand something, guys. The central bank can come in now and start pumping huge – remember, they tightened up on the repo loans 3 or 4 weeks ago. I told you what was going on, and I told you it was going to crash because of that. So now they can start pumping the $100 billion, $200 billion. They can pick any number they want, trillion dollars a night into the market, and they can bring it right back up again. Now, it's all funny money. It's all paper money. It's all just digital currency that's being pushed into a market that's already collapsed last week and will continue to collapse if it allows itself to go into free fall today. But ask yourself a question. Why did this kind of stuff happen? How do we find ourselves in this position? Well, guys, this isn't something that happened this generation. Now, the Frankfurt School did a lot of it to the United States because years, centuries ago, millennia ago with the Roman government, it got incredibly corrupt on the inside, and they started getting involved in all kinds of weird stuff and sexual stuff and perversions and bribery and all the other stuff that was going on. Then the Israeli government, wasn't Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, let's go back to where Jesus was. they got all involved with the Roman government. And everybody got involved with everybody else as far as bribery and blackmail and everything else. And people were being forced to do things they didn't want to do. You know, Pilate, in order to try to avoid basically insurrection from the Jewish people who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, reluctantly had Jesus Christ crucified. In fact, tried to get him off the hook and basically said, you know, we're going to let one of these guys go. Do you want Barabbas to go or do you want Jesus to go? You know, give us Barabbas, you know, crucify him. You guys read the Bible, you know what it says. So this corruption of these Sabbateans, they wouldn't even call that back then, these Luciferians, these benign Nephilim, that's about what you need to call them, sons of the fall, and who consider themselves the progeny of Lucifer himself. They've been running the planet for a long, long time. And these guys find every manner of perversion and extortion and bribery and blackmail and weirdo stuff they possibly can, and have done so for thousands of years, including the entire Sodom and Gomorrah scene, all of that stuff, in order to control people, guys. And see, this is what we need to see. The United States became too nationalistic, too based on Christian ideals. And they had to find a way to destroy the country from within, and that was done through the Frankfurt School from Goethe University in Germany. In 1933, they came over to Columbia and the other major institutions and put their seeds of Playboy magazine and Gloria Steinem and liberalism and abortion and all the filth they learned from the Kabbalah into our educational system. Until now, we have this system that's completely and totally rotted from the inside out. Can't teach the kids much anything anymore except how to take Ritalin and Adderall. And it's unbelievable. The other day I went to a local area. It's not really a tourist attraction. It's like a monument. It's called Bach Tower. And I'm sure it was based on Rothschild money and Masonic money because there's all kinds of Masonic symbolism all over the tower. It's like 200 feet tall. So I'm like, well, it's absolutely beautiful, though. It's beautiful. And I took my grandkids. And there was a wedding. There was a beautiful wedding being done there. It was right in front of the tower. I mean, it was open to the public because they didn't close the grounds, so anybody could come in and view the wedding. And I thought, well, that's really nice. And so there was a violinist there. And I said, you know, I'm gonna listen to this. I'm going to listen to the violin. I love violin music. I love string quartets. Oh, my gosh, I love string quartets. I love classical music. So I thought, I'm going to hear some pretty music today here at Bach Tower. How beautiful is this? So I walked up to the violinist. There weren't any guests yet there. She was there practicing a little bit, and I started talking to her. I said, who's getting married today? She goes, Steve, or Scott, maybe it was Scott or Steve, or maybe Travis and Steve, but it was two guys getting married. And I said, wait a minute. I said, she goes, yeah. She goes, well, at least they're making it legal. And I said, okay, well, I got to go. So I looked at Sharon, and I said, we got to go. We got the grandkids with us, the two-year-old and the four-year-old. And I looked at Sharon and said, we got to go. We got to go right now. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, now, Sharon, we got to go now. Trust me, I don't talk to you as we walk out of the garden, which is like a half mile walk. We get back to the car. And I explained to her, I said, Hunter and Kendall are 2 and 4. They're in a theta brainwave state. They don't need to see two guys smooching getting married at this age because they don't have any type of filter to say this isn't okay from a Christian standpoint. They don't have that filter. And so they're going to see that. It's going to go into their data banks as, oh, that's okay because mommy and daddy are. Grandpa or grandma or Appa and Alma would not have taken us here if this wasn't okay. And so we left. And see, this is the problem that we have right now. Here we have a public area and we're having a gay wedding. Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. That's the very first problem that we're having on this show right now. There is something wrong with that according to the Word of God. So we've left our first love. It talks about this in the book of Revelation. We no longer look at the Word of God as a template for our lives. And that allows us to say, it's okay for Steve to marry Jerry or for Jerry to marry Arnie or Arnie to marry David or whatever. Well, the Bible says that's not okay. And then you say, well, you're a bigot. So I had to have this big conversation with my daughters. They were here this weekend. They lived down the road from us, and they were out of school for the weekend. And I'm talking to both of them. And they said that, you know, Dad, well, you can't believe how much of this stuff. If you say something about it now, you're either considered a racist or a bigot. And I said, wait a minute. Racist is different. I said, nobody believes that if it has any kind of genetic or any kind of background in biology or whatever, that there's a difference as far as one race is specifically better than another race, and the other race needs to be exterminated, unless you're Margaret Sanger, who absolutely hated black people, who's a Democrat, who wanted to kill all the blacks, which is ridiculous. She was a racist. But yet when Hillary Clinton got the Margaret Sanger Award, she said it was like the most important award she'd ever received in her whole life. Just thought I'd mention that for you guys who are Democrats listening to the show. But, you know, bigotry is different. You know, the Bible teaches us to be bigots. Whoa, did Det Brewer just say that? Yeah, I'm telling you what it says. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. It's what it says in the New Testament. And when we're around people that have a value system that's diametrically opposed to the Word of God, we need to step away. And we need to say, I don't agree with that. I'm walking away. Well, that's bigotry. And that's so they label you with a word called you're a bigot. And now you're supposed to go, oh, no, not me. I'm not a bigot. No, well, no, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with being a bigot. There's nothing wrong with having a value system that's opposed to the world and standing up for it. There's nothing wrong. Gene this morning sent me a text or an audio text and said, you know, what happened? Why have we allowed ourselves? Why are we like this? Why is it so corrupt? Well, I'm telling you why. It never has been right. It's never been right since we crucified the Son of Glory. It's never been right. It wasn't right even when Jesus was here. That's why he had to come to fix it. And he didn't come to fix the world system. He came to fix us, to restore us to himself, to save us. Pick a word, restoration or salvation. It means the same thing, to allow God's Holy Spirit to come into us and to fill us and to make us different. Be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. It tells us in the Bible that we're just passing through, that we're not of this world. And you got to get that. All right? That's why this system is not going to get fixed. You know, it's not going to get fixed. You know, God's going to come back in the book of Revelation, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to clean it up. But he's the one who's going to do that. We can't do that. And then we got all these Christians now running around trying to rebuild a third temple to create the Antichrist so they can get raptured. They go up to heaven. Where did this twisted ideology come from? Well, that was from the Scofield Bible, which basically was pushed into our educational systems through our Christian universities over 100 years ago. And this is the problem that we have now. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I believe that Donald Trump, no matter what he did, short of arming Iran with nuclear weapons and nuking Israel, that these Christian Zionists who want the rapture would support him. I really believe that. It doesn't matter what he does or how he says. It doesn't matter how many times he takes the Lord's name in vain during a seminar or a rally or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter how many times he commits blasphemy or adultery or does stupid stuff. It doesn't make any difference. He gets a pass, just like we did George Bush Jr. in the early 2000s. You could give him a pass. We reelected him. Finally, at the end of the 8 years, everybody was so over George Bush Jr., we put a gay Kenyan, according to Joan Rivers, with a transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers, into the White House, and we choked that out for 8 more years. They control both sides of the narrative, guys. Trust me on this. Even if the coronavirus isn't going to wipe off the planet, okay? They're using it as a doggone template. They're using it as a beta test to see what to do and what not to do to make the next one bigger and worse. I mean, this coronavirus is getting much worse. I mean, it's getting much, much worse, but our government says nothing to see here. Don't wear a mask. Don't worry about it. Just keep going on with your daily life and forget about it. Well, guys, a lot of people are dying, and now we have it here in Florida. We're having it pop up all over the country. It is really starting to spread. And you think, well, a lot of people get it. They recover from it. Well, how do you know that? How do you know what the real numbers are? Gosh, guys, it's like we're a bunch of mushrooms being grown in the dark and shoveled a bunch of poop all the time. We don't even know what to believe anymore because of what they say. All I know, my friend in China says it's not getting any better. Ain't getting better. Now, guys, this has been burning through China for over a couple of months now. And now, will it get better when the sun comes out and we start making more vitamin D3 from our skin? Will it get better then? Well, that's usually why flus burn out in the springtime, because people get outside. They start getting fresh air. They start getting sunshine. The cholesterol in their skin starts to convert and become D3, which is more of a hormone than a vitamin. That's why it's so important to get a good source of it. That's why you want it from lanolin, from sheep's wool, rather than some synthetic mess. See, it's so important to understand that this is why the flu is seasonal, and this is why it goes away usually in the spring and in the summertime, because people are getting sunshine. Will it burn through this time? I don't know. Is it so contagious? Like Bill Gates says, maybe this is X, the X one that we've been worried about that's going to come through. No, this is the one he's been hoping for, guys. Don't let him kid you with all that nonsense. He's been talking about eugenics and depopulation. I promise you, if half the population of the planet dies right now, these globalists, these Luciferians, these Sabbateans, whatever you want to call them, these Druids, these big guys who took down Building 7, they will be dancing and squealing with glee that this many people died. That this is what they want. This is the stated goals. And they don't care how they do it. So does the coronavirus make the case for a world government? My response is no. We don't need a king over the world, run out of Jerusalem through Noahide laws. A Christian gets to be beheaded because, you know, he believes in Jesus Christ, because that's considered blasphemy. Yeah, that's where this is going. We don't need any of that stuff. All we need to do is remember that God is always God. He's still on the throne, and prayer still changes things, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we can commit our plans to the Lord and they will change. We can work like it's all up to us. We can pray like it's all up to God. And we can take our supplements, our D3, our K2, our potassium iodide, large amounts of our vitamin C, eat clean, stay away from sugar, stay away from crowded areas, and just say, God's God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And yes, if you have the right amount of nutrients in your bloodstream, I believe with all of my heart that this stuff is going to be no big deal for you. I have to believe that. I have to believe that as a Christian. I have to believe that God is able to sort through all of this stuff and fix all of this stuff. Because guys, they've tried this before with everything else. They tried it with AIDS. They tried it with Ebola. They tried it with they tried everything. These sickos resurrected the plague, for heaven's sakes. But guys, not everybody dies from this stuff. It's based on your immune system. Just believe God that we can do all things through Christ. That's all we can believe anyhow, because we're only here for a short period of time. That's my opening statement, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Well, that was really well said. I mean, and there's one thing I wanted to add into. You told me about it over the weekend when you had the grandkids at Bock Tower, and I was very, very glad you pulled them out of that because they didn't even be exposed to that. But you're exactly right with what they've been trying to do. I saw an article end of last week that was unbelievably troubling to me. I mean, very, very troubling, as this drag queen story hour at these public libraries is starting to escalate. And I mean escalate just so, best way I can put it is sadistically. And the fact that these parents, I'm trying not to get mad here, these parents are intentionally taking their young children to these cross-dressing perverts to expose them to this. And they're doing so most of the time because they want to prove that they're not a bigot or a homophobe. Not kidding. This is what's going on now. They're so concerned about what everybody else is going to think about them, and they're so concerned about being politically correct. They're exposing their 5- and 6-year-old children to this. One of the ones that popped up last week, this cross-dressing pervert man, drag queen, in a library, basically in booty shorts, I mean, it's disgusting, is on his hands and knees crawling over to this 6-year-old girl while they cheer and laugh and play music, pretty much in the beginning simulated phase of him doing like a lap dance is what it was. And then he goes up and smells her and kisses her on the cheek. I can't even make this stuff up. It's so perverted. In my opinion, this has been something that should have been classified as child porn, essentially. Just getting into this right now, you're going to be this perverted, and you're going to engage in this type of behavior publicly, and people are going to socially accept it. But it's exactly what Dad said. These people, when they go to this left, this hard, hard, just far out, there are no boundaries. There are no limits. They don't have the infilling of Jesus Christ. They don't have the Ten Commandments. They don't have biblical laws and morals and ethics. There are no restrictions on what they will do. They will take it further and further and further and further and further until somebody says, no, enough is enough. If they would have had 400, 500, 600 Christian patriots come in the library and say, no, you can do this in here if you want to try to do it, but we're going to make sure we make it so uncomfortable, so obnoxious, so disgusting to you because we're so bigoted towards you, you're not going to have it here anymore. It doesn't happen. Parents bring their kids to this crap. It boggles my mind. And this is what's happening. They take it further and further and further because nobody says anything about it. Because, oh, you know, I don't want to be politically incorrect. I don't want to be a homophobe. Guys, listen. Being homophobic and you being diametrically opposed to a grown man dressing up like a woman and doing basically a simulated lap dance on a six-year-old girl, that's not being homophobic. That's you being in your right mind and saying this is perverted, disgusting, it should never be exposed to someone of this age. This is not okay, guys. This behavior is not okay. And what Dad did at Bock Tower on Saturday, I was so proud of him and so glad he did that. I know he always has my kids back. I know that all the time. But when he told me that, I went, golly, that's exactly what I would have done. I said, no, heck no. Absolutely no. We're leaving this. I'm not going to support this by showing, you know, four extra bodies here. Because remember, these individuals, they love the attention. They do. They love this attention. This is why they dress up in these drag queen things. They want everybody to see them. They want everybody to know they're exposing them to it, and they want everybody to accept it. It's the same way now that we've completely and totally desensitized the American population to child sacrifice since the 60s with legalized abortions now. That's all it was, guys. And that's all it's done. It's a more normal, civilized way to have child sacrifices. I mean, when you have governors and individuals in the government coming out and saying that a woman has an absolute right to give birth to her child and then decide whether or not she wants to execute it on her table in the doctor's room, like that unbelievably sick Northam character did up in Virginia, he said that last year. What's the difference? I mean, so we're not putting our child through the fire to Moloch. We're just putting them on an operating table and deciding when we want to kill him. That's okay. That's supposed to be okay now? No, it's not okay, guys. But they slowly desensitize to it over and over and over and over again. Push the envelope just a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Before long, you're a Christian, and you don't even realize that you're even supposed to be offended by this anymore because you've been exposed to it so long. Subconsciously, you're like, wait, is that really going on? Golly, this is what's happening, and they're doing it as fast as they can. And now we have this whole society now that's becoming so perverted, and social media and all this stuff out there that's making it further and further. And I told you guys this before, and I will say it over and over again. The whole point of this transgender drag queen cross-dressing normalization is to do exactly what this pervert did to the six-year-old girl. They want to normalize child pedophilia. This is where it all goes back down to. This is what Epstein and all these guys were involved in, and they tried to cover it up, and the media's grossly covered it up. That's why, nothing ever gets talked about it. Oh, Epstein did this, he did that, and then he's kind of brushed on the table. Oh, he's dead now. It went away. This is why they either disappeared him or they killed him. Either which way, they wanted to make sure that his story got buried. People, all they remember now is Epstein's basically dead, allegedly, and that's it. They're not talking about the tens of thousands of girls that were sexually assaulted and raped because of what he was involved in globally. They're not talking about probably the thousands of global politicians and world leaders that were involved in his sex ring that he had videos of. None of that stuff. I mean, remember when the New York police chief came out a couple years ago and they had Anthony Weiner's laptop? And they basically said, dude, we got stuff on this laptop that nobody should ever see. We can't even believe the stuff is on here. We're going to make sure we expose it. And all of a sudden, I think one of them resigned, another officer resigned. All of a sudden, oh, nothing to see here. Don't worry about that. He's going, like, on probation. Gets, like, 6 months in jail, whatever. Oh, don't worry about that here. Nothing to see here. This is what happens when these guys are involved at the upper levels and nobody wants to call them out. That's why we try to do the best we can on our show to bring this information out there. Not that I want to talk about it, because I quite frankly, I hate it. But it has to be exposed for what's really going on. The same thing we see right now. Is the coronavirus real? 100% it's real. Is it being used as an excuse to try to go into a new world order and a one world government? Oh, 100% absolutely. I will bet you cash on it that that's exactly where this is headed. Is it going to be used as a justification to try to do mass forced vaccination on a global population? I personally believe that's going to happen. You can mark my word on that. Now, is it going to be in every single state, every single county, all across the United States? I don't know. know about that. I think it depends on how much the backlash they get. Remember, they already started to do this in New York. They already normalized the population of this in New York. I told you guys last year when they did that in New York and they started mandating those vaccines in New York, that was a beta test to see how the population was going to be response. The response was going to be the mandatory vaccines. That's why there's multiple executive orders now as far as when it comes to quarantine, when it comes to basically public health, when it comes to vaccines. Essentially, they can, if there's a national emergency with some type of contagious disease, they can quarantine you now pretty much as long as they want. And that's, in my opinion, that's what they're going to end up trying to do to everybody that doesn't get vaccinated if we can't keep our immune system strong enough. See, if it hits the United States and a lot of the population still is pretty resilient, like our friend that was over in South Korea, when I read you guys a letter from that. We had the other customer, remember, that wrote us in on Facebook. The lady that contracted the coronavirus. And remember, she said, she goes, I've been hammered vitamin C and D3. I tested positive for it. She knocked it out in 4 days. So she got like the flu, got like head cold, sniffles, didn't feel good, kicked it out in like 4 days. Hammering vitamins though. See, if we get that, the numbers are going to be massively decreased. Italy, on the other hand, though, doesn't seem to appear that their immune systems are as strong as they need to be over there. If you guys have seen what happened in Italy, it was quite troubling. They went from like 800 cases on Friday or Saturday to like 1,700 cases. They literally doubled in 24 hours. Doubled. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there, but it appears to me that we're actually seeing real numbers being released out of Italy. Remember, we said for the longest time everything that was going on in China was just That was all smoke and mirrors. They were trying to do the best they could to pull the numbers down. And we saw in Iran the same thing. If you guys saw that with Iran this morning. Iran now jumped like 523 new cases in 24 hours. Now they have like 1,500 cases. And a lot of people are still saying, well, this is like nothing compared to the flu. Guys, the flu isn't nearly this contagious. And we're not seeing a 3% death rate with the flu, ever. We've never seen that. That's what we're seeing with this right now. So whether or not this is a released virus or is accidentally or whatever it is, there's something more sinister behind it. And then when they came out a couple weeks ago, or was it 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and they said that they've gotten the green light, all these biotech companies have gotten the green light to start clinical trials on RNA technology vaccines that have never, never been approved for human clinical trial, much less human usage. Now they've got the green light for it to start testing it. And now that one company that got a 20-something million-dollar grant from Bill Gates all of a sudden was the first one to market with this new RNA vaccine that they are now starting clinical human trials on. And I can almost guarantee you we're never going to get the real true research numbers on that. We already saw how that happened with the HPV vaccine and the MMR vaccine and everything the CDC's tried to cover up for decades on vaccines and the lies behind them on what they actually do and the side effects that are actually going along with them. I mean, we're seeing kids now in the UK that are contracting HPV that have never been exposed to HPV just because they got the HPV vaccine. That was supposed to be impossible, guys. They said that could never happen when that vaccine was released. But here we are again. So how do we know that this coronavirus, that they come out with this RNA technology, sure enough, it may end up eliminating the virus. Technically, you may not have symptoms. How do we know it's not going to have some long-term debilitating side effects, or it's not going to slowly start rewriting your genes? Or better yet, how do we know it's not going to basically allow us to be more susceptible to 5G? There you go. We start rewriting DNA, start going in and changing how a person's composition is. Now all of a sudden you have 5G network that can dial in a specific frequency all over the globe. All of a sudden, everybody that got the vaccine's like, oh my gosh, I feel like a zombie now. I should do whatever CNN tells me to do. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying there's some weird stuff that's going on right now. So just be prepared the best you can, as I continue to tell everybody. Like I said, we've got this down here in Florida now. At least United Airlines, the CEO of United Airlines, has now said that domestic and transatlantic flights will now be cut after coronavirus fears leave planes empty of passengers. They're starting to talk about cutting back like on 50 to 60% of their flights. Pretty much everything like transatlantic is done. This should have already happened. You know, we're still running people from China over here. I don't even know what that's all about. Like Dad said the other day, I'm just still all those people in the airport. until all these people run around Orlando and Disney World. That's about to stop real quick, though. That's why I've been telling everybody for the last month, be very cautious on where you go. Not saying you have to be a hermit yet and bug in and not leave your house. What I am saying is use caution, especially in very, very heavily populated areas where you're going to be exposed to tight quarters with people from all over the world, i.e. theme parks and situations like that. Just probably not the best place you want to be right now, especially with all this stuff going on. So that's pretty much my stance on it, Ed.
Well, you know, it's so crazy. A few years ago, we went to the Florida State football game for the national championship. I think it was in 2013, 2014. And I remember Austin and I got our seats upgraded to first class, which was kind of nice. And we were flying on coupons, so I made it even nicer, so we had to fly for free out there. And I'll never forget, there was somebody from the Far East, looked like a China person or a female. I can't tell if it was, I remember if it was male or female. And they were just coughing. I mean, continually coughing behind Austin. And I mean, just like coughing up a lung coughing. And I'm like, what the heck? And finally, I looked at Austin. I said, do you want me to say something to them? They're right behind you. This is ridiculous. And he goes, no, it's all right, Dad. It's all right. We're okay. And I said, okay. And, you know, and I thought to myself, what's wrong with their manners? Why won't they cover their mouth? We got to understand, different cultures have different manners. This person behind us, they're talking about to die all of it. And I said, this went on for 4 hours, right? Nonstop flight from Orlando to Pasadena or wherever we landed into. I don't remember. And what was funny about the whole thing, not as funny and ha-ha, but funny and ironically, you know, Austin ended up getting unbelievably sick. I mean sick, probably sickest I've ever seen him in his entire life within a few days. Me, I pretty much just, you know, took my time at the game, didn't allow myself to get jet lag, got plenty of sleep, and Austin really, really got sick. And, you know, that shows you how contagious this stuff is on airplanes. I mean, it's bad. And so if you get something like this and somebody in your family member gets something like this, let's just talk about this for a second. One of our listeners, Randy, asked me to cover some of this. If someone in your household gets this, here's the best way to handle that. Number one, this is with a flu or with a cold or anything. You got to isolate them to their room. All right. This is really important. You got to open the windows in the room and get cross ventilation in the room. You got to make sure this individual who has this flu or whatever you want to call it, coronavirus, cold or anything, stays in the room. That they're not running around touching every surface in the house and touching every doorknob in the house and coughing up a lung all over the house and spreading it. Open up a window. If you've got a window fan, stick the window fan in, pull in fresh air, blow it out the side, and just keep them in the room isolated. That's the only way you can kind of self-quarantine. Hopefully you've got a bathroom associated with that bedroom so they can just stay in that little area. And just do your best to mitigate as far as being around them. You know, you can always put stuff, you know, by the door. They can, you open the door, slide it in or whatever. Just don't be walking in there and checking on them. Unless they're really debilitated. If they're really, really sick and you got to check their fever and all that, you got to check on them. But if you do that, you need to be wearing gloves, you know, a mask, goggles. You've got to isolate yourself to the best you can. Then when you walk out of the room, you got to leave the attire that you wore right there and not drag it all over the house and touch everything. Then you need to go get cleaned up, either or at least wash your hands or take a shower. Depends on how severe the case is and how contagious this particular thing that you're looking at is. It's very, very difficult to put a contagion in a household full of people and not have it spread through the house. I've seen that so many times with children and grandchildren. One kid gets it, everybody else gets it. Now, the one thing that you can really, really do, and this is so important, I talk to you guys about this. I have this colloidal silver we have at the office. We sell it. Great product, 500 parts per million. And I've already done it this morning, and I'll do it 4 or 5 times today. I dip a couple of Q-tips in this colloidal silver, and I swab the inside of both my nostrils out. And then we also have the spray that you can use. And what it does, it kind of gives you a coating of colloidal silver in your nose, whereas if you touch your face where this stuff gets into that area, there's a high probability the colloidal silver is going to kill it. So that's the thing that we have to look at. We have to make sure we can try to kill it before it gets into your system. And, of course, you can always wear masks too, because that really slows down the air coming into the nasal passages. Unlike our, you know, Surgeon General's telling us not to go out and buy masks, that's ridiculous. Now they're saying that they don't want us to buy masks because, you know, we're stripping the supply of masks nationwide because we don't have, you know, 350 million masks laying around. Okay, look, here's the thing, guys. I've got masks at the house. We haven't broken the masks out yet. My daughter wore one coming back from Montana. She appears to stay healthy. I told you I made her go outside, take a shower, leave her clothes outside. We have an outside shower for the swimming pool. And all I did, I told you, okay, I'm going to repeat this. To let you know how serious I am, okay, yesterday I had a friend come over from Orlando. He flew in. I wouldn't let him touch anything. I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't even let. We sat on the back porch. I wouldn't even let him come inside the house and cough and hack or whatever he's going to do. He touched one set of doorknobs coming into the house on the back porch, and I scrubbed him down and cleaned him and sterilized him after he left. I kept him isolated to one area. And he's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. And he said to me, man, Ted, you got full quarantine protocol going on. I said, no, bud. I said, and he goes, well, I didn't realize the coronavirus was that bad. And I'm like, oh, gosh. He said, you know, you need to read something other than the stuff you read. I said, you got to understand what's going on. So we ended up talking for a couple hours. And after he left, everything got disinfected. You know, he had some lunch with us. I told Sharon, put gloves on when you handle his plate because it's got saliva on the fork on the plate. Scrub it down, sterilize it, do whatever you need to do. Get a dishwasher, get hot water onto it. So, yes, guys, I'm that anal about it right now. I mean, I'm that uptight about it. I don't want it in my house. I don't want my grandkids getting it. I don't want my grandkids at this point, this is Austin's choice, you know, going to church on Wednesday night and playing with a bunch of other kids that may have been exposed to this stuff and lowering their immune systems. We, at this point right now, this is not the point to play games with this anymore, because this is an all-out effort to basically bring in a new world order. This is what they're going to do. And if they can get it to keep going, they're going to push this. Because remember, we've got to look at what's happening here with the international banking cartels. They're doing all of this. I'm telling you, the cabalists are doing all of this. You know, the plan they want to do is remove all cash from circulation so the central banks can whirl out digital currencies. And they're going to tell you, they're going to say, oh, by the way, the coronavirus is being spread through money. This is what's going on. It's, oh, people are touching the money. It's all contaminated, okay? Their intent is to create a cashless society, just like it says in the book of Revelation. And they also want a surveillance state. They want a surveillance state where everybody can be tracked, controlled, monitored, taxed, and regulated into submission. Submission. So you just shut up. And you become the good little slave. The United Nations and the central banks, these Rothschild boys, and it's not just the Rothschilds anymore. It's the same group. It's the Luciferians. They have the same controllers above them. That's the Satanists, the wizards, and they're working together on many fronts to establish a form of global governments, which is laid out in their own documents, specifically the 2030 agenda, which is previously Agenda 21. So they missed that, so now it's 2030. And everything that's happening right now, I believe, is connected to all of this stuff. I mean, you know that Dr. Francis Boyle said, he was the author of the U.S. Bioweapons War Act, he said that the coronavirus is a bioweapon. I mean, how much more direct does he have to be? See, what we have here, coincidentally or not, we are the same day that the World Military Games were holding their opening ceremonies in Wuhan, which is, of course, what we provided the perfect cover for foreign nation to release a weaponized biodegradation there. Wuhan is now ground zero. And repeat that. Coincidentally or not, on the same day that the World Military Games were holding their opening ceremonies in Wuhan, which of course would have provided the perfect cover for a foreign nation to release a weaponized biodegradation there, Wuhan now is ground zero. This debt-based currency system that we have, the central bank financial disaster we had since 1913, this is the means to control and enslave entire nations. We've talked about this. And the problem is, listen to me, guys, so many alt websites won't talk about this. They won't talk about the Zionists. They won't talk about the Third Temple. They won't talk about Lucifer and the Son of Perdition and the 90 Nephilim and the currency. This is Babylonian money magic. This is what they did to Rome. This stuff's been going on for thousands of years. This is why these bankers have been thrown out of hundreds of countries around the world over and over and over and over again. Because once the people get the craw full of this mess, they're like, God, it's always the same group. Get them out of here. It's just they're perverts and they're greed. It's just you can't stop it. They never have enough money. The current debt-based financial system is a means of control. You know, the dominance of U.S. dollar was never meant to last forever. In fact, you know, they're trying to replace it right now. The new digital currency paradigm is getting ready to be rolled out. It's a new system of control, and it's going to take a dramatic step in event to shock people into accepting it. Remember, no one wants digital currency. Except for some of the areas that are being forced into it. They don't want it either. 9/11 is a perfect example of how people would never accepted the rollout of the police state or the surveillance state. No one would have allowed us to go into endless wars ever if it wasn't justified by this war on terror by that George W. low IQ, lowbrow boy. I mean, no one would have ever accepted it. All the Patriot Act stuff and all the other junk, the Enabling Act that the Nazis did in 1933, same as our Patriot Act. Nobody would accept it if it wasn't for a major crisis. They need to have a precipitating incident. This is what happened on 9/11. 9/11 is the trigger that brought us to this new world order. 2001 was the trigger date. This is when they did this to us, and everybody sat back and went, whoa, it's okay. George Bush is trying to protect us. He's a Republican. No, he wasn't. He was skull and bones. He's in a casket with another guy doing blah, all kinds of weird stuff. Now, the current economic and financial system is basically on life support. We know that. The Fed's pumped trillions of dollars just in the last few months to keep it from crashing. And until this new control system is ready to go, they're going to keep pumping stuff into it. You know, Donald Trump says, well, the Fed needs to intervene with a crash of the stock market because of the coronavirus and pump more cash and lower interest rates. Wait a minute. The central banks, they use Bitcoin as a digital, as a beta test to see what would happen. For years, they've been working to develop their own digital currencies. They're called CBDCs, or central bank digital currencies. And pretty much all these Rothschild-controlled central banks are all doing it now. And they're setting it up for a new world order. That's about to go mainstream, because they're going to use the coronavirus probably as an alternative, you know, as a precipitating incident. Now, if the U.S. economy crashes, which it's going to do just because of what China is doing as far as manufacturing production, this is going to crash the global economy. But it'll be like a controlled demolition. You know, it'll be like it was on 9/11. You know, you see it all kind of collapse around you. You know, we've already seen huge losses in the stock markets. I mean, with the largest and fastest drop in the stock market since the 2008 financial crisis. You know, and then remember what happened in 2008, 2007? It drop and stop, and drop and stop, and go back up. Drop, stop, go back up. Financial planners say, oh, no, don't sell out. It's just a dip in the market as you watch your doggone net worth go down to the tubes. Okay? The New York Stock Exchange, they're going to run another disaster recovery drill on the morning of March the 7th. Wait a minute. The New York Stock Exchange, they got it scheduled, guys. Another disaster recovery drill. Is that another one of these little false flag things that everybody's prepping for that they're really going to do? I don't know. Now, the Financial Stability Board, they operate under the Bank of International Settlements, all through parts of the Internet. It's a stability fund that we have in the United States. It started in 1933. They're currently preparing final drafts of the new financial system. So they want to actually implement this stuff. So you think, what the heck? Guys, you know, they're selling this as a new sustainable financial system to stop runaway climate change, and, you know, and to stop, you know, carbon units from putting out too much CO2, and to stop having problems with the monetary system having these ups and downs like we have now. Guys, this is the same thing. This is the same playbook they did in the early 1900s, where they kept crashing the market, crashing the market, crashing the market. The same group. And they said the only way we're going to stabilize this is to put a Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. That'll stabilize the currency and the sheeple in the United States at that time, because the media was already controlled by these clowns, these gutless wonders who hide in the shadows. They said okay, and they allowed that gutless wonder Woodrow Wilson to do what he did, being blackmailed by Samuel Untermeyer and his girl from Princeton and all the other stuff that we've talked about so much, his wife, this married woman he had an affair with. And that gutless wonder Woodrow Wilson had old Colonel House running around telling him what to do, who's a Rothschild agent. And this is how we got ourselves into this mess. This is how we got under the spell of this Cabala group. We allowed these people to come in as a Trojan horse. And they did. And I've got to give them credit, man. They've done it very, very, very well. By the way, this coronavirus, you know, you kind of hate talking about it, but, you know, it's getting much, much, much worse. And we need to realize that we haven't really diagnosed a lot of people with coronavirus in the United States, because we haven't had the testing equipment to do that. You know, we have panic buying now. It's hitting New York City as ancient shoppers stock up on food and medical supply after a healthcare worker in her 30s became the Big Apple's first confirmed coronavirus patient. We got pictures of migrants trying to flee out of Turkey to get into the EU, which still drag all the stuff into the EU with them and leave trails of feces all the way up to the European Union, trying to go through Greece again and out of Turkey. I mean, what a giant mess. You know, we've got worried families, you know, are blasting Washington nursing homes where one man has died from the coronavirus, and 50 more are ill for not testing the patients and ignoring the phone calls of the parents. You know, and guys, think about this for a second. We've got a lot of people in nursing homes in the United States. We have millions of people in nursing homes. And these old people are being given horrible diets. They're almost all deficient in nutrients as far as vitamins. And so what is going to happen is, if this stuff gets into nursing homes, in the prison systems, where their food is so bad, it's going to run through the prisons, run through the nursing homes, like a buzzsaw through doggone wet paper. And this is the stuff that these groups aren't talking about, because we don't have the medical, how should I say this, hospitalization facilities available in the United States to handle 20 or 30 million people infected with coronavirus. We don't have that. And so a lot of these old people are simply going to die. A lot of the prisons are simply going to die. But see, the New World Order people, they don't care about that. To them, it's like good riddance. They don't care that your grandma's in the nursing home or your parents are in the nursing home. They don't care about that. They don't care about you. They think you're an ant. They call you a goyim. You're just something to be. You're like a cattle. You're an asset. And they got to cull the herd. That's how they look at this stuff. You know, these people aren't productive. They're not making enough money for us anymore. They need to go away. Okay. By the way, Donald Trump is now touting progress is being made on a vaccine and a cure for coronavirus. He complains. He saved many lives from the disease while the Democrats were trying to impeach him. I don't know if he's delusional. How did he save many lives from disease while the Democrats were trying to impeach him? I thought that impeachment stuff was over with long before the coronavirus hit the news. But who knows? I mean, he's just reading a script anyhow. As the Washington clown show continues to go on and on and on. Guys, I love you. Listen to Hagman's show on Friday that I did. You know, you guys can go to his website and listen to that one-hour segment. I'm in the second hour with him. And just hear my response when he started talking about these witches and stuff. Guys, they have no authority over us. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We're infused with the Holy Spirit. You know, but guys, stand firm. Don't accept transgender story hours for your children or your grandkids. And I know you guys wouldn't be listening to this show. And I know this show is show is so politically incorrect it needs to get like a 5-star award for today's show. And I don't care. That's what we're going to continue to do. It is what it is. I'm not going to tell you guys that this churches say, the pastors say, it's okay to be gay. Come into the church. We'll treat you like you're a brother or sister. You don't need to repent. What Bible are they reading? It's not okay. This is the problem. We got too many pansies in the pulpit. They won't tell you the truth. And they won't stand against this stuff, guys. No, it's not okay. It's never going to be okay. And I know the gays are going to do what they're going to do. We saw that with Sodom and Gomorrah. And whatever they're going to do is what they're going to do. I'm more of a libertarian than that. But don't put it in front of my grandchildren at Bach Tower. Don't do that. That's not okay. It'll never be okay with me. If you want to do this stuff in your own backyard or your own house or your own bedroom or whatever, I'm not going to come in there with a camera. The deep state might, but I'm not. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. But guys, don't expect us to embrace it and to love it and to accept it and to promote it. We shall certainly not do that. We shall not do that because we're born of the Spirit of the living God, born again. And we can't allow that stuff into our hearts or minds and into our families. I'll let you finish up the show, Austin. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so very, very much. You guys are the best. Thanks for supporting us. I got to pray for you this morning. It was my privilege and my responsibility to do that for you. And I feel like I've got my family with me right now when I talk to you guys. You guys are amazing. Thank you for your support. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for standing in the gap with us. I love you guys. Awesome. Take over, bud.
Yes, absolutely. I've had a lot of emails over the weekend. People ask me on different things that you can do as far as, getting prepared, but, you know, budget-wise, obviously the main thing I tell everybody is water. You know, you can buy some of the plastic jugs at your store, empty jugs, the BPA-free ones. There's lots of different stuff, and, you know, use your water distiller. Put a little bit of colloidal silver in it, a little bit of Aquatrace in it. Put it in a closet, set it, forget it, and have some backup water. That's one of the biggest things because you have to make sure that if there's starting to become shortages, especially if you're on, say, city water, which I know some people are, you know, if the power goes out or you start having water treatment problems because people aren't going to work, you got to make sure you have access to water and then having some type of backup filtration system that you can also use in the event that power goes down. Just something that I always highly suggest because water is a big one. And then, of course, having some backup food and everything together. And other than that, you know, just live life still. Life's short on this earth. So sitting around all day being spooked about what's going to happen doesn't benefit anybody. That doesn't mean don't be prepared, don't be ready. You guys know I like being prepared for just about anything imaginable that I can try to foresee or gather from other people that I know and put those together and compile my own practical information to put aside. So that's why I just continually recommend to everybody. And again, thank you for the support of healthmasters.com. We're going to keep doing this show Monday through Friday, every single day, as long as we can physically do it. And we're just going to keep hammering through with it and just getting this information out there to everybody. I'm trying to get some more health stories tomorrow and some more stuff together. I know today a lot of stuff was going on, but I know a lot of people are still wanting to get the health news that we always bring up so often. So I'm going to be working on that tomorrow and try to have some really good new research and new health stories and just give you guys encouragement the best we can. If you need anything, please feel free to give us a call. We are very busy. Some of the phones have been very busy the last couple weeks, so you may be on hold for a little bit. However, we do have phone reps. We don't send you over to India or Pakistan at a phone calling center. We have phones here, and we answer the phone as long as we can, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Also, be sure to check out the website. As much as we have, we're trying to keep inventory under control as best possible. Like I said, we're going to have some more food buckets coming in. Hopefully today, another smaller batch, and then some more Friday. And, you know, we're just going to keep trying to get those in as fast as we can and ship them out as fast as we can. The vitamin C and D3, we still have huge purchase orders in route right now from our suppliers on that. So we're still staying pretty strong on inventory, and we'll continue to do so because we're blessed. And Ted and I both sat down at the beginning of this and knew we were going to probably start having some supply chain issues in the next couple months. So we're trying to make sure we keep as much inventory on hand as possible so everybody can keep their immune system strong. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week, the thyroid support, on sale right now. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win on Wednesday as product of the week. Lots of good products on there this week, so it's going to be a really good sale, whatever wins. I think Probiotic 350 is pulling pretty strong right now. That's an incredibly good product. Expensive, very expensive for us to manufacture, but that's why when it goes on sale, I try to give you guys you know, the best discount we can physically put on it. So again, thank you for the support. Be safe, be prepared, but also live life, enjoy, and love you guys. Have an awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.